Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Captain Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Francis.
How are you this morning?
Aces.
We have coming up later on a guest. Our guest for the rest of the show, starting in the next segment, is Susan Lin. She is an instructor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School, and she is also with a group that she co-founded called the Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood. And she's going to be talking with us about a lawsuit that they instituted in Massachusetts to try and stop large corporations from advertising directly to children under 8. And that is going to be an interesting discussion.
I believe it will be.
But first, we'd like to start with an email from one of our listeners. In love that we get emails from people all over the world. We love hearing from you guys. We don't read them all on the air, but we do love hearing from you, and we respond to most of them. This is from Vaughn in British Columbia, in Richmond, British Columbia. Listened with horror to your recent podcast about not canceling reservations. I'm not in the business, but even before hearing your show, I was appalled at how many people actually do these kinds of things. Years ago, I was unknowingly dragged into a scam by a couple who invited my ex-girlfriend and I to a popular restaurant. We asked if they had reservations, and they said, don't worry about that. When we got there, they went into an obviously practiced routine of, how dare you lose my reservation, complete with shock, offense, and criticism. When the restaurant, which was full, rearranged the furniture to sit us down, the couple smiled at us and said, how was that? They were doubly pleased with themselves when we were given free dessert and an apology. We never saw them again by choice. It was many years ago. I wish to this day I would have told them what I thought. Disgusting. Love your show. Vaughn. Vaughn, we love you.
You know, I sent back Vaughn a note on this one. I said, I think you told them how you felt when you never went out with them again.
I just think, you know, people are rude sometimes. And you know what? 99.9% of people are really nice.
So there it is. We've taught you. If you're a total scammer, we've taught you how to do it.
Yeah, that's a bummer. But actually, you know, there are ways that restaurants sort of protect against that.
Go ahead. You can tell some of our little deep, dark secrets.
We had a problem. And you know, computer reservation software is making this a much less likely to
happen. We also, especially when Stage Left was very small, we were a little 40-seat restaurant. Frequently, we had waiting lists of 100 or 200 people on them, and so it was difficult to get into Stage Left when we were so small.
Very difficult.
It's not as difficult now, though.
It's difficult to get exactly the time you want.
Right, exactly.
Now,
certain times
are more difficult.
But you
don't have to call a month in advance.
Right, precisely.
My favorite, though. So what Mark and I did when people were pulling the scam on us a lot.
Right, and it was happening a lot.
Because we had 50 seats, and, you know, people would just show... I mean, we want to seat everybody. You know,
exactly.
You know what I think is very interesting is the maitre d'. And I've experienced this, and I still don't get it. Is the maitre d' of the restaurant, and we were working the door of our own restaurant, and this would happen. People would come in and say, 7:30 on a Saturday night, and say, we'd like a table for two. I'm like, you know, I'm terribly sorry. I don't have anything tonight at all, or I don't have anything at night
until
10 o'clock.
Until 10:30, right.
And they would say, well, that's it. We're never coming here again.
No. Like, they'd say, that's it. We're going to go someplace else then. That was the one
that
always
got me. Didn't I just say that?
It's like,
No, but there would be people that I experienced. People say, that's it. We're never coming here. Like, they're mad at me because I don't have a table. Mm-hmm. Believe me. I have built. We spent the last 15 years building more restaurants so that we would be able to seat everybody.
Nobody
wants to turn you away.
There's something that I think the public sometimes doesn't realize. And what the public doesn't realize is that it is in my best interest to seat every seat as full as I can seat it, as many times as I can seat it, all the time. That's in my best interest. So I'm not turning you away because I don't like you.
But there are velvet rope restaurants in New York. There are people working doors at restaurants in New York and Miami that are you know, thinking, well, maybe you're not dressed well enough to be here. You're not the type of person we want here. Believe me, in New Jersey, you don't find that too much. It's certainly not around here. It's fine. People come to the door, and they often say, can we, sheepishly, you know, they'll see it's crowded, and they'll say, can we get dinner? And I always want to say, do you have any money? No, so here's the deal, though. What Mark and I did years ago, when people would pull the old How dare I, Mr. Johnson, and have you lost my reservation? And Mark and I, what we did was we said, okay, that's it. 50-seat restaurant. Mark and I work every day of the week. Nobody in this organization takes a reservation except for me and Mark.
Except for me or him.
And if we're not available, take a message. We'll call him back. Nobody takes a reservation.
We honestly did this for a couple of months because...
We did it for a year and a half,
was,
pal.
Well, okay, a lot of months.
And
because it was such a difficult... We were having such a problem with this particular scam.
So here's how we dealt with the scam. They would say to us, well, I'm Mr. Johnson, and I have a reservation for 2 at 7:30. I'm sorry, Mr. Johnson, I don't have the reservation in the book. And he'd say, well, that's ridiculous. I made a reservation 2 weeks ago and for 7:30. And what we'd say is, oh, my. Oh, no. Did you make the reservation? Was it a woman? And, of course, he was like I had a problem with this stupid secretary or something. And he would say, well, yes, indeed it was a woman. I'm like, oh, it must be a different restaurant because we don't have any women taking reservations. So we have tools in our arsenal as well.
The other thing, too, is for a long time we didn't take any 7:30 reservations. We didn't take any period. So we knew that it was a scam if somebody was telling us they had a 7:30
But one of the worst feelings in the world is when someone comes in and this is another scam. People look over the reservation book for a name.
Oh, that's happened, too. I can tell you that's happened, too.
And that's why we hide the reservation book.
We're the Levy Party.
And then seat them, and then 20 minutes later, the Levy Party shows up.
Then you got to go to the first people and be like, can I see your driver's license, please?
No, but you don't know what to do. I mean, you know, what if they're both people named Levy? What if, you know, the plaques
Which happens.
Are
there are times where you have two or three reservations with the same name on the same day. It definitely happens.
But it's funny. I mean, don't get mad at your restaurateur if they're actually full. I mean, sometimes, especially with small restaurants, believe me, we want to seat you. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is restaurants in New York, what they're doing now, and I don't know about the rest of the country, but I know that in some places what they'll do is they will open their reservation books 1 month to the day ahead of when they take reservations. And so for a place like Del Posto, that's what they do, which is a new Mario Batali, Joe and Lydia Bastianich restaurant in New York, and many other places do the same thing. And so what you need to do is they open the phones at 10 o'clock in the morning for the day 1 month hence.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want you to have the, you know, what is that old Yogi Berra line? That place was so busy, nobody goes there anymore. Yeah, so if their reservation book is booked out a year, which many of these places could do, and everybody says, oh, don't even bother calling, you'll never get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then a year from now, what do you do?
Right.
And the other thing is people who make reservations so far in advance, they often have something come up. So I think that's, you know, it's hard to manage tight reservations.
Well, let me tell you, let me give everyone just a little quick clue as to sometimes how you can get into one of those restaurants or even our restaurants sometimes when it's booked. Because sometimes you take a reservation and you have to say no to a customer because you've allotted a certain time for another customer or you have a certain amount of customers coming in. Walk in. Be at that restaurant at that time, even if you think that they're probably full, even if you got a no on the telephone because if maybe somebody hasn't come in, or maybe someone hasn't shown up, or someone's left early.
And the other thing is, you can call the day of, because it's usually you're able to get a reservation well in advance. So the day of is when you get cancellations, and sometimes you can sneak right in there that afternoon. Hey, you're listening to the Restaurant Guys. We'll be talking about advertising to kids in just a moment. Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey, 1450 WCTC with the Restaurant Guys.
Hey, you're back with the Restaurant Guys. Mark Pascal and Francis Schott of Catherine Lombardi and Stage Left Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. And our guest today is Susan Lin. Susan is an instructor of psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School and also associate director of the Media Center at Judge Baker Children's Center. She's also co-founder of the coalition Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood. Her book is Consuming Kids, an unsparing look at what advertisers call the kid market. The Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood is a plaintiff in a lawsuit brought in Massachusetts against Viacom and Kellogg to stop them from marketing junk food to young children under age 8. She joins us today to talk about the lawsuit specifically and marketing to children in general. Susan Lin, welcome to the show.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
So, sure. Susan, why not market to children? Come on, you spoiled sport.
Yeah, why not? All those, you know, kids who could make all those people rich, right?
Everybody likes Cap'n Crunch.
Why can't we just exploit them and let them get fat or, you know, whatever, and who cares, right?
I think you see the germ of an argument here.
You know, I, but you actually, I mean, I get asked that question a lot. actually by people more serious, I think, than you were.
Right.
Oh, we're serious.
Yeah, no, I know.
We're just seriously on the other side.
Yeah.
You know, I think we really need to ask ourselves, what is society's responsibility to children?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and we have to remember that children are not like adults. I mean, they're not adults in teeny bodies.
Mm-hmm. Now, hold on a second. Now, you speak with some authority on this topic because you're an instructor.
Because I was a child once.
Well, we all come with that qualification.
Oh, yeah, right.
But you come with some more. You know, you're with the Harvard Medical School and the Media Center at the Judge Baker Children's Center. What is that all about, and what kind of work do you do?
All of my work has been actually around children, either working directly with children, talking to children. I'm a psychologist by training. I began life actually as a ventriloquist.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not.
That's really very funny. So now you speak for children.
Don't move, actually.
You really can't demonstrate ventriloquism on the radio.
No, you can't. I know. That's the problem. But so you don't know whether I'm telling the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
My lips are moving now, though.
Right, okay.
And I worked with Fred Rogers.
Oh, really? Mr.
Yeah,
Rogers.
I did. And so it's not as though I'm anti-media or a technophobe or a Luddite or, you know, anything like that. But the problem is that marketing to children has gotten completely out of hand. It's been escalating. It's unchecked. And it's not good for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just sort of put it in perspective. In 1983, corporations were spending $100 million a year marketing to children on television. Last year, they were spending $15
billion. Oh,
billion.
Billion.
Billion, yeah, with a B.
Billion. That's a B. I can move those decimal points.
Before we get into the specifics of how corporations are doing this and the sort of cradle-to-grave marketing strategy that they're doing, let's talk about the people who oppose your lawsuit and oppose your position raise the free speech argument. Mm-hmm. What's your answer to that?
I really support the First Amendment. I believe in the First Amendment. I think artists should be able to create whatever they want.
Mm-hmm. And corporations should be able to say what they want as well, shouldn't they?
Well, but what I don't think is that they should be able to market what they're making to children necessarily.
Yeah. Susan, I'll tell you how I feel about it. I'm a capitalist pig.
Uh-huh.
But leave my kids alone.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
You know,
and the other thing is, you know, I believe, I mean, a corporation is not a person.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we really need to think about whether corporations should have rights like that.
Well, you know, it's funny. Even if you consider a corporation a person, in the eyes of the law, in many ways, corporations are considered people. But here's a co-plaintiff in your suit is the Center for Science and the Public Interest. And their executive director, Michael Jacobson, has said, and this is a quote, "In any other sphere of American life, it would be considered creepy and predatory for adults to propose commercial transactions to toddlers and young children."
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a big difference with, you know, free speech aimed at adults and free speech that hits children.
Right. And we already have some protections for children.
Mm-hmm. Sure. They can't smoke. They can't drink. They can't gamble.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Let's go to the casino, have a bowl of cereal and a big cigarette. And off we go.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the argument, I mean, the free speech argument comes up with people who are sort of interested in politics and, you know, that kind of thing. The argument that comes up most of the time is, isn't it all up to parents?
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's what people say. Shouldn't parents just say no? And I think that my, you know, my answer to that is that what I said before, what is society's responsibility to parents?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it okay to have corporations working day and night to undermine parental authority and to make things so much harder for children?
I think you use the right word. I think you use exactly the right word there, and that's undermine.
Right.
Okay, because we can teach our kids all the things that we want. If other things are undermining those teachings, then you have conflict. Then your child is conflicted.
Sounds
right.
Kind of
not only that.
Hold on one second. We're going to take a quick break, Susan. We're going to come back. But you know, the whole thing comes down to that. Sounds like your philosophy sounds like it's in keeping with my idea of family values, and that's all right. I'm going to say on the matter. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
The place, Brooklyn, New York, post-World War II. An Italian-American woman named Catherine Lombardi cooks for her family. What's so special about that? Well, lots. Food was central back then. Good food handed down from the traditions of two countries. Food that filled the whole house with the sweet smells of garlic, tomato, and basil. No matter when you stopped by or who you were sure to be fed and fussed over. Catherine showed her love on the plate and out of the pot. Any who were lucky enough to receive it never forgot. This is Mark Pascal from the Restaurant Guys Radio Show and Stage Left. I've just opened Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, and its mission, to live up to the standards set by Catherine Lombardi. So come by the bar, sit by the fire. Have some fresh mozzarella and antipasto. The matagatta and tortelloni are amazing, and the veal chop will make you cry. Our wine list, of course, without parallel. We've got to live up to the standards set by Catherine Lombardi. You see, Catherine Lombardi was my grandmother. Come let me show you where I came from.
Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, 732-296-9463 or CatherineLombardi.com.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, you're back with the Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick. And our guest today is Susan Lin, an instructor of psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School, and more importantly, author of Consuming Kids, an unsparing look at what advertisers call the kid market. And her organization that she founded, this campaign for a commercial-free childhood, is a plaintiff in a lawsuit trying to get Viacom and Kellogg to stop marketing to kids under 8 years old. You are... you've written books on consuming to kids. You've worked on a professional level with how children's psychiatry works. Why don't you tell us how advertising to kids works and how it differs from advertising to adults?
Well, what the marketing industry does is work with child psychologists. I mean, I find that very painful to say.
Mm-hmm. I find that creepy.
Yes. Yep. And creepy. They work with child psychologists and anthropologists, actually, to learn about children's developmental vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And then, instead of working to help kids with those, they exploit them.
Right.
And it's as basic as, really little kids like bright primary colors, and that's why Ronald McDonald, wears yellow.
Right, it's the colors
red.
He is.
Right. Or, they prey on the idea that kids feel... often feel kind of helpless in a big world.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decide that, well, we're going to sell food to kids as if it'll make them powerful.
Wow.
You have to eat chocolate.
It's unbelievable.
So that's a superhero selling this
sure,
sugary candy.
Sure, of course.
Right.
And I love the studies where they watched when the kids will turn their head.
Where the
kids will turn away from the
right.
TV.
That's right.
And so what they do is they do things to make sure the kid doesn't turn their head.
So they hypnotize your kid in watching that television.
I mean, in 1998, this company called Western Media International did a study on nagging. And it wasn't a study to help parents cope with nagging. It was a study to help corporations help children nag more effectively.
Oh, my God.
They call it the nag factor.
And how is this not criminal? I don't understand how this is not actually criminal.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I think that's not a study that could have been done in academia.
Because where
I work, we have to go through a human subjects review. There are federal laws about.
We have to come back in just a moment. More with Susan Lin about advertising to children and this crazy, crazy practice of corporate America. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. Together we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Our guest today is Susan Lin. She's an instructor of psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School and also an associate director of the Media Center at Judge Baker's Children's Center. She's also founder of the coalition Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood. The Campaign for Commercial-Free Childhood is a plaintiff in a lawsuit brought in Massachusetts against Viacom and Kellogg to stop them from marketing junk food to young children under age 8. She joins us today to talk about marketing to children and the lawsuit to which she's a party. Before the news, we were talking about studies that these large firms do, these corporate firms do, to market to children and how they take advantage of children's developmental weaknesses in order to, well, attack them and get them to buy their product.
Not just attack them, get them to attack their parents.
Yeah, I don't think that these guys are sitting around saying, let's hurt children. I know that they're not, in fact,
of course not,
sitting around saying that. But what they're not thinking about is what's best for children.
It's a disregard for what's best for them.
Right.
It's a what's best for my corporation with disregard for what's best for the children.
And you know what, in our society, and I believe in any society, there's a higher standard when it comes to children.
Well, there should be.
And if you say, well, they're not thinking about whether they're hurting children or not, are they hurting children is what I'm concerned about.
Right. And you know, marketing, it's not just food that's marketed to kids. I mean, that's one thing people need to remember. Marketing's a factor in childhood obesity. We know that. It's a factor in youth violence. It's a factor in precocious irresponsible sexuality. It's a factor in the erosion of children's creative play, which doesn't sound like much until you realize that that's the foundation of learning. I mean, it really has an impact. I mean, that's why I wrote my book, is so that people would really have a sense of how powerful the marketing industry is, how much influence it has on kids, and what the problems are because of that.
Talk to us about how marketing to children can add to an increase in precocious sexual behavior.
Well, I mean, one of the things, you know, kids turn to the media, for instance. They turn to the media to learn about sex. I mean, people need to think about that the sex that's marketed to kids on television or in the movies or whatever, it's not the same as sex education in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Sex education in the schools is, I mean, people can be for that or against that, but basically it's designed to help children. The sex that kids are sold in the media is sex and violence, sex as power, sex as commodity, sex to sell something.
Again, it's sex to sell something, and it's selling to children with a disregard for how it may impact them.
Right. And I think that, you know, we need to remember that it's not just products that are marketed to kids, it's habits, behaviors, and values.
Like what kind of habits, behaviors, and values?
Well, you know, what's the primary value in commercial land? Things will make us happy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every commercial, every marketing experience that children have, that's the message. This thing, whatever it is, will make you happy or make you better or make you popular. It's like brainwashing, and it's over and over and over and over and over again. And the problem is, and this is what I think people don't understand, is that there's less and less time in children's lives that is commercial free. I mean, marketing in schools is escalating. When you were kids, your parents just had to worry about television, but now it's television and the internet and iPods and cell phones.
Well, and there are fast food restaurants in schools.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about marketing.
Fast food restaurants in schools, right.
In the schools.
You know, exactly. And you know, the focus of this suit is very limited. I mean, we're not asking for a lot. We're asking the corporations, these corporations, stop marketing the worst food to the youngest, most vulnerable children.
You know, one of the things that's raised is that by the people on your side of this debate, and, well, honestly, we're on the same side.
I'm getting that. it's a relief.
Children don't. Children under 8, now you're a psychologist by training. Children under 8, I've read, don't have the ability to distinguish between news and a commercial.
They don't, they can't. Well, no,
children can't
distinguish between a program and a commercial. Children who are, you know, 7, 6, 7, 8 can say that's a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't understand is persuasive intent. I mean, they don't understand the fundamental basis of advertising.
Susan, one of the things that I've sat down with my children, and I've sat down with my 9-year-old and my 6-year-old and even my 3-year-old at this point, I've sat down with all of them and said, listen, when you're watching a commercial, realize that they're trying to make you believe that this product is better than it really is. And in most cases, the product that they're showing you when you get it isn't as good as they say it is.
Right.
And just sitting down with my children and explaining that to them, mm-hmm. I think has given them some broader understanding of what advertising is. Because I think that most people don't ever explain that to a child.
Yeah, I think it's really important for parents to talk to children. The problem is that marketing works on emotions and not on intellect. So you can know that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but there's no evidence that skepticism influences consumer behavior.
Wow.
You know,
really?
I mean, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Especially among 9-year-olds.
With kids, yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to say with kids, because I'm thinking.
With kids. But, you know, I think we're all vulnerable mm-hmm. to marketing. Most of us are. I mean, the only person I know who isn't vulnerable to marketing is my husband.
I'm most vulnerable
cars.
I'm most vulnerable at about 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm watching late night TV.
Mark orders a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you want a Vegematic,
right? Right, exactly. Now, talk to us about, and I think people don't realize, you know, people think that, you know, ad people just sit around a room and come up with funny cartoon ideas to advertise to kids. You have an intimate knowledge of how the advertising industry uses psychiatrists and psychologists and anthropologists mm-hmm. to find kids' weaknesses and get them. You talked about a study that makes kids nag their parents more. What other kind of
things? That encourages kids to nag their parents.
Right. So what other kind of studies do they do to advertise to our kids?
Oh, you know, I once saw an article that said exploiting teen vulnerabilities is a tried and true way of, you know, marketing to adolescents.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's that kind of thing. Children like to play with their food. Moms don't like kids to play with their food. Therefore, we should encourage children to play with their foods because that only adds to its appeal.
Wow,
that's
I mean, I saw
amazing.
I saw a I read a market an analysis of the marketing strategy for Lunchables, and they actually said parents don't like this product. They don't like the cost. They don't like the packaging. But that only adds to its appeal. So another thing that they do is sort of prey on children's natural inclination to rebel against
their natural rebellion.
And the other thing is, it's really important to remember that we're not just talking about commercials. I mean, commercials are so 20th century. That's
right.
Not the way the marketing mm-hmm. is going now. I mean, now there's product placement. So product placement like Coca-Cola on American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
American Idol is one of the top-rated programs for 2 to 11-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Sure, because parents think that it's
rife with product placement. SquarePants brought in $1.5 billion from Nickelodeon last year.
But parents think it's safe. That's why. Parents are letting their kids watch American Idol because it's supposed to be safe.
It's not, right, exactly. I mean, and you know, and on the Internet, I mean, there's a whole escalation of marketing on the Internet. Product placement in video games now.
One of the things that I think is very interesting is that a lot of these corporations have adopted a cradle-to-grave marketing strategy, and Eric Schlosser talks about that in his book, Fast Food Nation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where they're actually willing to lose money on the very young children and lose money by doing things to help schools to put their brand name in schools to get a lifelong customer, and that sounds a little more like brainwashing than advertising to me. We're going to talk more about that with Susan Lin, author of Consuming Kids and co-plaintiff in lawsuits against Viacom and Kellogg to stop advertising directed at our youngest children. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45. Hi, this is Francis of Stage Left and Captain Lombardi Restaurants and also of The Restaurant Guys radio show. You know, one of the best things about the restaurant business is the creative side of it. Coming up with big ideas and then turning those concepts into reality is awesome. It's what I love most about what I do. But it can't stop there. If you can't communicate exactly what it is you're doing, then you'll find yourself standing alone in your dining room, just you and your big ideas. The Mardini Group can help you get your ideas across to others. The Mardini Group is a boutique graphic design firm, and they do extraordinary work. We use them, and as you know, we only use the best. Whether it's menu design, product packaging, a corporate report, promo material, a homepage, or an awesome logo for a brand new project like Catherine Lombardi, we turn to the Mardini Group. Some small business owners don't realize how important it is to have a strong visual identity. Without it, you come across as less than professional. That can cost you trust, and that lowers your bottom line. First impressions count for a lot, and that's why you need the Mardini Group. Go to RestaurantGuysRadio.com and click on the Mardini Group link, or call them at 718-694-9944. The Mardini Group for graphic design, 718-694-9944.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys.
Hey, you're back with the Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurant. Our guest is Susan Lin. She's a psychologist and instructor of psychiatry at Harvard. Her book is Consuming Kids. And a coalition that she helped to found, Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood, is seeking the end of advertising sugary cereals to kids under 8. Susan, we were talking about branding and advertising to kids. If we were to eliminate a lot of this marketing to kids under 8, wouldn't that result in a decrease in children's programming and put the whole Nickelodeon network at risk?
Well, you know, one of the things we need to think about is whether we as a country want to support public television or public media for children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't support public television very well. And other countries do. I mean, other countries put more public money into their media for children. That's an option for us. You know,
we could have done that.
The other thing is, really, I mean, this may sound, I can never remember if it's apocryphal or heretical, one of those.
we'll look it up.
Okay, good. But how much choice, how much television programming do children really need?
Yeah.
I mean, do they need Nickelodeon and Disney and the Cartoon Network? I mean, do they need all
I think if you're SpongeBob,
that
that's heretical.
And public television, and Noggin, and Sprout. I mean, how much television do they need? And most of it is junk. Not all of it.
Mm-hmm. You know what's interesting, though? It's if the paradigm is if adults want to watch TV, they're going to have to pay for it. I think that's a defensible position. But if the paradigm is, listen, if the kids are going to watch TV, we need to make money off them, I think that you know, the free market doesn't need to necessarily extend to advertising directly to children while bypassing parental authority.
No, it absolutely does not. I absolutely agree with you.
I mean, we have laws on our books that a child can't make a purchase.
Right.
So why are we allowed to market to those children?
And frankly, when it gets to the level of using psychologists and psychiatrists to watch the eye patterns of kids, I mean, that's really creepy.
Probe the depths of their minds.
Yeah, and to take advantage of their developmental problems. You know, this cradle to grave.
Not problems, just vulnerability.
Right, I'm sorry, to take their weaknesses, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when we talked about cradle to grave marketing, a lot of these companies are willing to lose money, and they're saying that kids now, because they put brand names on cradles and baby toys and all sorts of things like that, as soon as they can speak, some of their first words are brand names of products.
That's right. Children, yes, I actually know a young mother who really, in fact, limited media, whose baby's first words were Elmo, Nemo, and Coke.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a little bit wrong. And also they say that, you know, these developmental these images that we have as kids, and I was born in 65, so we really didn't have this when I was a young, you know, baby,
right.
Young boy. But, you know, if your first images are of Ronald McDonald and, you know, you're thinking, you know, you're forming images of mom, dad, Ronald McDonald, Burger King, that's mm-hmm. a real problem.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, essentially what happens is that kids develop all these warm, fuzzy feelings about these media characters. And then when they go to the grocery store, there are the media characters, you know, leaping out at them.
Right, on their candy bars and on their cereal. And
all right,
of course.
Some will say that there already is an organization, the Children's Advertising Review Unit, or CARU, which regulates advertising to children.
It doesn't regulate advertising to children. I mean,
what is this organization?
It's funded by the industry. And it is a self-regulatory vehicle for the...
It's supposed to be a self-regulatory vehicle.
It is supposed to be. I mean, self-regulation has failed.
In this industry, yeah.
In this industry, it has. It has failed. I mean, you know, they have been, quote, self-regulating for over 30 years. And look what's happened.
Well, yeah. You gave us numbers earlier in the show. What were the numbers again about what we...
$100 million, 1983, corporations were spending $100 million marketing to children on television because TV was all there was, mm-hmm. and now they're spending $15
billion. Wow.
The food industry alone spends, I've seen $10 to $12 billion.
And again, when we talk about freedom of speech...
That's 150 times.
Oh, yeah. And when we
That's
talk,
right.
When we
yeah.
talk about freedom of speech and when we talk about allowing people to advertise, I'm all for it. And when we talk about family values, I'm all for that too, but it's about... undermining parental authority, because frankly, even if you spend hours a day with your kid, they spend many more hours, especially once they go off to school,
mm-hmm.
listening to the radio, watching TV, buying, you know, in the school where there's advertising, in the store where there's advertising.
In the school where there may be a McDonald's and a Coca-Cola machine.
And it's more than that. Ronald McDonald goes into schools to teach reading. Oh. Ronald McDonald goes into schools to promote character education. Ronald McDonald goes into schools to promote exercise. Tony the Tiger goes into schools.
Ronald McDonald's a very smart guy.
Yeah,
yeah right, yeah. Ronald, you know,
the
I mean,
clown.
Yeah, kids love Ronald McDonald, and look what he's selling them.
So what would be success in this lawsuit to you? What's the best possible outcome for you, do you think you can achieve it?
The best possible outcome is that Viacom and Kellogg stop marketing junk food to children.
Is that happening in other countries?
Sweden and Norway have, we have fewer laws about marketing to children than any other industrialized democracy.
My goodness.
You know, in Sweden and Norway, there's no television advertising to children under the age of 12, and that's also true in the province of Quebec, interestingly enough. In Greece, you can't market toys on television until after 10 o'clock at night. I mean,
wow.
Here, the American Medical Association, you know, came out and said there should be no alcohol advertising until after 10 o'clock at
mm-hmm.
night, and they can't get that through.
So you're looking for a change in policy. You're not looking for monetary damages.
The suit, I'm not a lawyer, but the suit does ask for monetary damages, but we have said that if these policies are changed, we don't care about the money. We don't
right.
want
the Susan,
money.
It's not about
I'm not
cash.
Sure you can sue. I don't know if you can...
Susan, we need to run. I want to thank you for
okay.
being on the show. It's been really swell. We're going to put a link up to your organization from our site
great.
So that people can find you. That's restaurantguysradio.com, and we thank you for taking the time.
Thanks, Susan.
Sure, it was great talking to you.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1155.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, you're back with the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our great guest today was Susan Lynn. She's the author of Consuming Kids, an unsparing look at what advertisers call the kid market. And she's involved in a lawsuit to limit some advertising of the worst of junk foods to the youngest of kids. And we'll link you that to that on our website, restaurantguysradio.com.
Marketing kids, very, very scary.
Ooh.
So this is a true story.
Yeah.
My child, my youngest daughter, my I guess she's 8 months old yesterday, said her first words this morning. Guess what they were?
What were they?
Well, guess.
Apple Jacks?
Coca-Cola? No.
It was
none of those words. She said daddy. Imagine
that's so sweet.
Imagine that. She didn't say Coca-Cola.
That's great.
Or Elmo.
That's great.
Yeah.
You've been playing the daddy commercial.
Of course. Daddy. That's all I say.
How's your wife feel about that it wasn't mama? That's great. Congratulations. I'm going to cry. Okay.
I don't think you are.
Back to the business.
You cold, heartless man.
Did you know that a preschooler's risk for obesity increases by 6% for every hour of TV watched per day?
Yeah, ugly.
6%.
6%.
And if there's a TV in the preschooler's bedroom, the odds jump an additional 31%.
31% by having a television in your preschooler's bedroom.
No, the odds increase by 31%.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, wild, huh?
Don't put a TV in your
kid's bedroom.
There you go.
Francis
and I have to talk at the same time because we both say the same thing.
God. The worst of the worst, though, was Kellogg. I'm not sure it was Kellogg, but there was an Applejack commercial out there that they backed away from. And the Applejack commercial actually disparaged apples.
Had an evil apple that was trying to get
like,
into your food.
Don't
without.
Eat apples. Eat Apple Jacks instead. That's just really shameless. Look, you know that we're all about freedom of speech, and adults should be able to.
I said at the beginning of the show, I said it. I am a capitalist pig, okay? I have no problem with corporations trying to make money. I have no problem with corporations marketing. I have no problem with commercials. I have no problem with any of that stuff. Stay away from my kids, especially stay away from my preschool kids.
Yeah, I totally agree.
The younger person you're targeting, I think, the more evil you are. And evil is the only word I can think of.
And it is a societal responsibility. It is something we take out of the hands of private enterprise. We don't let strange men come up on the street and make financial transactions with our children. We shouldn't let them do it through the television either. And that's what this is really all about. I think that you judge a society by how well it takes care of its children. And in this regard, I don't think we're doing a very good job. And that's for sure. And these are the kind of family values that I'm about, because you, Mark, should be able to raise your children without advertisers trying to undo what you do.
And
these are advertisers that do studies to teach your children how best to nag you to get them to do the things that aren't good for them. And that's wrong.
Undermine was the word she used, and that's a bad word.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed your hour with the Restaurant Guys. We're going to go have a little lunch ourselves. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pesca.
We are the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. Time is 12 noon.